2 weeks after becoming law, a move to revamp Michigan's Court of Claims is still generating questions and discussion. The reform, approved largely along party lines in the state legislature, moves legal actions against Michigan out of the Ingham County Circuit Court. The move has led to a host of procedural questions, along with fears of so-called judge shopping by state officials who are defendants in the cases. That's because Michigan Court of Appeals judges will now be presiding over Court of Claims cases. And to help us understand some of these issues, we welcome the new chief judge of the revamped Michigan Court of Claims, the Honorable Michael Talbot. Judge Talbot, many thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Mark. Good morning.
I imagine there's quite a bit of work ahead. You issued a 30-day stay on all cases to get a handle on things here. Give us a sense of what needs to be done.
Well, you're absolutely right. I did issue a stay for 30 days just so that we could become more familiar with the files that are open cases that were pending in the Court of Claims, which was a part of the Ingham Circuit Court. What we first did was sit down with the Ingham County Clerk, who functions as the clerk of the court for Ingham, and make an arrangement with that office that they will function as our clerk's office for at least 60 days. They will do the docketing. They will maintain the files. They will take in new filings and give them case numbers, that sort of thing, because we did not have yet a case management system. Right now, we are interviewing and taking bids for a case management system. That's up and running. We're working on that. We did take the first 40 files. There's about 132 open cases right now in the Court of Claims. The first 40 have been scanned, and by luck of the draw, pure blind draw, assigned to the four judges of the Court of Appeals who will be serving on the Court of Claims. And so we each now have our first batch of cases so we can start to review them and become more familiar with, you know, what they are about and then whether or not there's some actions that we need to take with those files. Some will have things that we need to do with them fairly soon. The next batch was ready yesterday, and we'll take that next batch. We'll take them all. We'll do all of them and review them. Those are the first steps that we're engaged in.
Do you have a sense of how much this transition will cost? I know Ingham County's estimate to run the Court of Claims was about $500,000 a year.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to stay within that budget. That's the monies that was allocated, and I'm hopeful that we can stay within that.
Help us understand which cases are coming from circuit courts. How do you interpret the bill to decide which cases are coming from circuit courts and which aren't?
Well, both, as you well know, there's what they call a trailer. This is not my field. I don't do the legislative process, but there's a trailing bill or a trailer bill that's pending now, which will clarify a few things. One of the concerns that came up during the pendency of this current legislation that passed was a concern that parties that had a right to a jury inadvertently lost that right to jury.
Yes.
The bill was written. And so what they've done is they've got this trailer bill that will clarify that and say, oh, no, if you had a right in different subjects, if those subjects gave you a right to a jury trial, that's restored to you, and it stays with the circuit courts. The reason I give you that off the top is that hasn't been passed yet, but once it does, that's going to cool things down a little bit in terms of the number of cases that will be coming from circuits to us. Considerably. A very large pool.
So
they'll just stay there.
Are you realistically planning to implement a jury system then?
We don't. That's the point. The statute is very clear that when you sue the state of Michigan, whatever the remedy you're seeking, but if you belong in the Court of Claims, because that's where the exclusive jurisdiction is for your type of lawsuit, you do not have a right of jury. The state can giveth and they can taketh away. And so they didn't intend to take away the right of jury to on a number of subjects. Maybe illustration, whistleblower cases. So they're simply saying, hey, if you had a right to a jury before, you know, in your by way of your subject matter, we want that to stay in circuit courts. And that's for clarification.
Okay.
The only things that will then come to us are rather particular areas that exclusive jurisdiction does belong now with the Court of Claims. Perhaps it did not before. And I don't know how many that will be, but that's the guesstimate of the Attorney General's office, that it could be a few hundred more cases coming to us. Might be higher, might be a little lower. And so those are being identified, and they will slow. The Attorney General will give notice, and the parties will probably be heard in front of a local circuit, whichever that might be. And ultimately, if there's a disagreement about the question of jurisdiction, where it belongs, circuit versus court of claims, that would go to the Court of Appeals for clarity.
That sounds
very lawyery, and that's exactly what's happening here. A lot of work for lawyers.
Can you help us understand what powers the Attorney General will have that he or she did not have before then?
As I read the statute, it's the Attorney General will look over the cases that are pending in the 83 counties, identify cases that they think should be transferred to the Court of Claims. The problem with that's a power. The problem with that is there's another provision in the same statute that speaks in terms of Court of Claims having exclusive jurisdiction on certain subjects. Well, that means that even though the Attorney General may identify some cases that he thinks should be removed to the Court of Claims, if we have exclusive jurisdiction, it's somewhat of an academic question whether they've identified X or not if the trial court has no jurisdiction over a case. That's an area that's really gray, and I'm not making a ruling or telling you that that is going to have an impact on a lot of cases. I have no idea. Could be, for all I know, two cases. But it's an area that's a little gray and will have to be worked out.
We're talking with Judge Michael Talbot, who is the new chief judge of the revamped Michigan Court of Claims here on current state. How do you avoid the appearance of what's called forum shopping here?
Well, there is no forum shopping in the sense that there were four judges to be designated by the Supreme Court to serve on this new Court of Claims, and we will do a pure rotation of luck of the draw on each case that we have and each one that comes in. So you the lawyers can't pick who the judge will be, and it'll be a strict rotation. That's our judges come from a broader area of the state. One myself out of Wayne County, two out of Macomb, another out of Ingham, and so it's a substantial cross section of the population of the state of Michigan. Whereas before there was four judges designated judges who were on the civil docket in Ingham County, and they did a blind draw. So I don't think there was necessarily any suggestion of form shopping before, and I don't think anybody's suggesting form shopping now.
Will the Court of Appeals judges have a reduced number of cases to make room for the new ones?
Well, we will be careful to manage actively the cases that come and that are pending in the Court of Claims. That is to say, we'll take as much time as necessary to make sure that folks have their day in court in a timely fashion. That's really what all courts, all courts when I think about it, but particularly trial courts have a responsibility. One is to make a fair decision, and two, do it in a timely fashion. So, as we review our files and we look to see how much time is it going to take for us, I don't know that right this minute, even for the ones that I've looked at. I've got 10, but they're at different stages of development. Some are about ready for some sort of a motion. One's ready for trial, and a couple more are just walking in the door. So each one's on a little different state of affairs. as we respond to the needs of those cases, obviously we have to reduce the time that we can spend on some Court of Appeals cases. We don't know. It may not have a great impact, and it, on the other hand, might for a while take up quite a bit of time. I know that the Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals is sensitive to all of that, as I am, and we're constantly going to be talking to each other to make sure that we try to provide service in both courts.
I have to ask Judge Talbot, this all happened pretty fast. Can you characterize the communication that the Court of Appeals had with the legislature in anticipation of this change?
No, the communication normally is with our Chief Judge, and I know that our Chief Judge, when that was legislation was first introduced, he became aware of it, and whatever the communications he engaged in were probably ones of inquiry and status, what's the state of affairs. That thing with 21 days of calendar days, as I think I recall the number, there's very little chance to have too much input. I think that the feeling might have been, I don't know, amongst the legislature that if they saw that there might be a problem, they felt they could take care of it. And I think that's why you see the trailing bill. And that may be where there's been some input. I don't know.
I need to ask you a little bit more about immediate effect. According to the Michigan Constitution, bills take effect 90 days after the session ends, unless there's a two-thirds vote to give the bill immediate effect. This was designed to make the new laws more open to the public for scrutiny and to allow time for, among other things, smoother implementation or a referendum challenge, perhaps. These changes to the Court of Claims went into immediate effect, yet the measure passed in the House by only a 57-52 vote, and 44 Democrats later submitted a letter saying they don't support immediate effect. How is this not a violation of the state constitution?
Let me tell you where I'm going to be a little careful about that. Anytime that there's a potential for a lawsuit, I'm ethically bound not to comment. That said, what I can tell you is that the question of immediate effect has come up in two cases over the years that are published opinions of the Court of Appeals and reviewed by the Supreme Court and allowed to stand, dealing with the fact, and I'm giving a shorthand here, that the House, the Senate, are masters of their own rules. And that's essentially a policy decision that says the courts, will stay out of the application of your rules.
You were involved in just such a case last year, correct?
I was. I guess that was about a year ago. And that was a reiteration or reaffirmance of an earlier case of about 5-6 years earlier than that. So it's not a new question. And it may be raised in this instance. I have no idea. But I want to be careful to simply say there are a couple of published opinion cases on it. Maybe there's going to be another case coming. We'll see.
Okay. It seems that just judging by the numbers, doing the math, it seems like a pretty clear violation. So we will keep an eye on that. A federal appeals panel wrote last August that, quote, Plainly, the legislature will not self-correct its abuse of the immediate effect exception because the majority party controls and benefits from the process. What, in your opinion, is the role of the judiciary in ensuring the Constitution is complied with?
That's a great question. Someone's done some serious homework. and I'm impressed. The best I can say is I want to be careful. There may very well be a new case coming out of this. I don't know. And so I don't want to comment on potential cases. And also, that's an active case. It may be that it's in federal, but it is an active case. And the Code of Ethics sort of suggests that judges shouldn't comment on open active cases, regardless of where they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the reasons for that is that it confuses the public. Better to let the judges who have the case look at the problem specifically and write on the subject, rather than having every wandering judge, you know, comment. It's just probably not such a great idea.
When do you expect to be open for business?
Well, of course, we are open for business in the sense that you, from day one, you could come to any of the four offices of the Court of Appeals and file a notice of intent or file the actual lawsuit, and we would take that in and did take it in. We have taken some matters in. And those then are processed per our arrangement with the Ingham Clerk's Office. We have been taking those lawsuits in and giving them case numbers and getting the ball rolling on those. So we're open for business in that sense. What we are not doing is any active managing of the cases that we inherited. We want to get familiar with them. And I think, too, gives the lawyers a chance to take a look and say, you know, okay, the situation's changed a little bit. Let's look at those cases that we have pending. Is this a chance for us to take a second look? Things are going to change a little bit, even as to where we might be going to hear, you know, from make an oral argument or something of that nature. Is this a chance for us to maybe resolve the case? I have no idea because we're not talking to the lawyers, but it is a chance for the lawyers to look at their cases.
We've been talking to the Honorable Michael Talbot. Mr. Talbot's the new Chief Judge of the revamped Michigan Court of Claims. Judge Talbot, many thanks.
Oh, this is fun. Thanks, Mark, for giving me a call.